everybody, and welcome to our first episode this month of Real Geeks, and probably the last review of a new property we're going to be doing for a fair while. And as much as I'm sure you can all guess why, please stay till the end of the review where I'll be explaining the whole thing. So, I am, as always, joined by Mickey, and introducing for the first time, and man, have I been looking forward to this, Alyssa Veda Winters.
Hi, everybody. Same awesome person, new packaging, new brand name.
Oh, I enjoyed that way too much.
But seriously, I have applied for a name change. I'm in the process of legally changing my name. And while the first name is a mouthful of Alyssa Veda, I'll be going by Vita.
And we're going to be discussing Bloodshot, the latest comic book adaptation, and probably Vin Diesel's first attempt at a genre-specific Harrison Ford exemption. The plot is basically Vin stars as Luke Devereaux, a soldier who was killed in the line of duty and is brought back to life by a nefarious government... Universal Soldier. Let me try that again. Vin Diesel stars as Ray Garrison, an American soldier killed in the line of duty and brought back to life. Okay. I see what the problem is.
Yeah. Although he's got less visible hardware than Jean-Claude did. So.
True.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing is, we can't get a successful Universal Soldier remake. Somehow we got this.
To be fair, when I did a little research on the character, and when the character first came out, they were only on the first Universal Soldier, so it wasn't beaten to death yet. It was a legitimate thing to steal.
And then came about, if I remember right, 5 more Universal Soldier movies.
Yes, half of them with Dolph Lundgren. So there's half of the Universal Soldier movies. Couldn't even get Dolph Lundgren to sign up. just to let you know how what the bottom of that barrel tastes like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had hopes for this movie. I really did. Sam Heughan. Just Sam Heughan.
Yeah.
I walked away unhappy.
Interesting. I'm on the other side. I had no hope. I was loathing this, ruining it, not looking forward to it. The first act made me feel like I wanted to kill myself. And then, because I hadn't read anything about it up to it, so the reveal made it interesting enough that by the end of it, I was happy with the product. I don't want a sequel.
Yeah, no, I'm...
In this day and age, I'm pretty sure there's probably going to be
The beginning of the Valiant Cinematic Universe. We'll see how far that goes.
No! I was kind of the midpoint between the two of you, because on the one hand, this for me was the equivalent of Captain Marvel insofar as, comic book movie with a character that I'm not familiar with. This interests me. I'm looking at the trailer and I'm going, I think I know what's coming.
And there was so much potential. The trailer gave you so much idea of where it's going to be going, and they pretty much cracked open the egg after the first... When are we putting the spoiler alert in anyway?
We can do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Because, quite simply, as much as I did ask to stick around till the end of the review, I'm just going to say it right now. If you've seen the trailers... You've seen all the good stuff?
Yes.
And I'm so happy that I didn't see the trailer. I was just like, no, I want to go into a comic book movie in the rare instance of not knowing anything.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating from that. The whole time I spent watching going like, okay, how's this compared to Iron Man? Because it kind of is Iron Man if instead of building the suit yourself, you just ended up in the hands of Aldrich Killian. So it's Iron Man built by AIM. Using kind of the same technology. Like, he even says the glow, and it's just like, No, this, you could take this, repackage it as an AIM movie, and I would probably say, yeah, that was decent. That was decent, like, Marvel Apocrypha, instead of...
Basically, because Valiant basically has Guy Pearce playing Aldrich Killian in every way.
It took me again. So long to be sure that that was Guy Pearce. I'm just watching it. Look, it looks like Guy Pearce, totally.
Yeah.
Obviously. What the fuck is Guy Pearce doing in this film? I can understand being in a Marvel film. Yeah, obviously. You're along with Ben Kingsley. I can understand being in Prometheus, arty horror. Fine. What the fuck? What the fuck is he doing in this goddamn mess of a... And like, yeah, no. I'm going to stop right now because otherwise it's going to be me for an hour. And I am saying that as the person who actually liked this movie.
Which
it's... Like, I mean, aside from the fact that, as I've already said, this movie has been done before plenty of times. There were two things that immediately jumped out at me. One was the simple fact that within 5 minutes of Vin Diesel's getting the nanites, which, again, if you've seen a 90s movie, again, plot point done to death.
I really like the point that... Aldrich Killian, yes, we're gonna...
We're sticking with that! I don't care!
Actually says they're called nanites and tries to explain them as if the audience wouldn't know what the fuck a nanite is?
Oh, I think if you're 2 years old and still in diapers by this point in time, you know what the fuck nanites are.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
Like, but, yeah. It's so basic, but it's just like, they're called nanites. I think, yes, I fucking know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like, dude, we've seen Star Trek!
Numerous times, yes.
We know how this works probably better than you do.
Yeah.
But, like, within 5 minutes of him getting the nanites, the movie literally goes, here's why you don't need to care about anyone in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I especially hated that first third before that reveal, because I truly thought that they're committed to the bullshit backstory that they gave him in-universe. So, we've already done the spoilers. So, the very first scene is this incredibly over-the-top and stupid hero moment where I can't remember his name, I'm going to call him Kyle. He goes into what looks like a typical, like, Middle East city raid, but it's literally just him. And he goes in there and fucks everything up, like, fucks everyone up in a good way, in the sense that, like, he accomplishes his mission, and you can hear that there's a team screaming at him to stop, but you never see this team until after they get home from the mission, and you see him, like, top-gunning with his team, and it's just before the reveal that all of that was intentionally fabricated and truncated and all that. I thought this was the biggest piece of shit I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah.
Like, the simple fact is, have you played Call of Duty? Any Call of Duty?
Yeah, it's Call of Duty the game, but it doesn't, it like, wisely and smartly, and I this is why I was so happy with the rest of the film, is it doesn't tip at all during it that this is a video game or fake or so stupid. I literally thought that the movie was that stupid. Yeah. Instead of playing stupid. So that was nice.
like when your movie just goes out of its way to tell you, here's all the stuff you don't need to look. Here's all the reasons you're not going to like this movie. When they immediately tell you there are no stakes whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you remember all those things? Good. Don't.
Like, as much as... More or less, I don't hate the movie.
Yeah.
At the same time, I'm going, the only way I could truly recommend this to someone is if... Have you ever looked at a Fast and the Furious movie and wondered what would happen if it took itself seriously?
Oh my god.
So my issues, and there were issues, oh my god. So, I adore Sam Heughan. He plays a character that I'm in love with from the Outlander series. He plays James Alexander Malcolm McKenzie Fraser. Or Jamie Fraser. And, you know, he's like this 1700s Scottish laird in a kilt. And he's posh, and he's poised, and he's educated, and he speaks multiple languages, and, you know, he's commanding, and he walks into a room, and he commands attention. Yeah. He doesn't, you know, demand it. And he's cute. So I had high hopes for this movie, because Sam Heughan's in it, and I wanted to see what he would bring that wasn't Jamie. Mm. So on that hand, you know, you see David Tennant, who plays the Doctor, and then he plays Kilgrave, and then he goes from cool and nice and to evil and sadistic. And I like that he can just fan, and then he's got Casanova, and he's got a brain injury in between, and so he plays a variety of roles. And then you still got Johnny Depp, and he plays, you know, I don't think he plays the same personality twice.
Yeah.
So I was looking forward to seeing what Sam Heughan could do. He didn't disappoint. He plays a sadistic, arrogant shit. But they didn't let him bring more. It just, the whole movie was flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, as much as you enjoyed, I felt bad for him. Because I'm going, I don't think he's had a lot of movie roles, so...
He hasn't, that I know of, no.
I'm thinking to myself, somebody like him who's probably like kind of newish to a film, you put a big comic book movie in front of him, yeah, I can see why he's in the movie. I can see why he took the role.
Yeah, obviously.
And by the end of the movie, I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry you had to do this.
Yeah. The whole thing, I would love to have seen more backstory on all of them. Like, for example, okay, so Ray is told, well, there was no one here to claim you. Apparently he's told this repeatedly.
Yeah.
Because he's wiped after every engagement. But it's not until he starts to realize that he's a cog in somebody else's machine. This is all bullshit. Wait a minute. I never even thought to check to look for Gina. Well, why would you? You've just been told that she's not there. She's dead.
There's that. And one, he finds her awful easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Right in the same area that he's in on an engagement. Go figure.
And apparently she hasn't moved in at least 5 years.
Yeah. And also, he has never approached her before in 5 years, but we're having this moment now.
But where has he been for 5 years?
Exactly.
Like, at what point in time was he donated to medical science?
Right? Or was he never actually donated? Did he himself? I would have loved to have a Logan reveal at the end of this, or at some point in this, when they would have been like, no, you weren't donated. You volunteered.
Which would even be sub here.
Yeah, we paid you so much money.
Yeah.
You volunteered. You're here because you wanted to. This is your signature, and that's why we can do whatever the fuck we want with you.
Yeah.
But instead, they were just kind of like, no, we've forgotten that plot line. We're beyond that now. Bang, bang, bang.
The frustrating thing there is they actually set up to build on that, because she has a line. That's something like, it's like the, you know, we had this conversation. We decided to move on. Don't you remember?
I promised to come home. I always come home. And she says, yeah, but I wanted you to stay home. And that was the whole precedence of it.
And then it goes no further.
Also, she doesn't mention at all that he died. So even if they weren't together anymore, you'd assume she would have heard that he died.
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah, it's just give us that more backstory of like, so did Aldridge kill him?
Well, I mean, he believes that Gina's his wife.
Yeah.
So again, you're right. At some point in time, you would think that somebody go, oh, by the way, your ex-husband.
Yeah, or even just your ex. Like, maybe they were only dated. They never got to that stage, but still. Oh, he died. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there's no moment of that where he's standing at the door and she's going, the fuck.
Yeah.
So in her mind, he's just off doing top secret things that he can't talk about.
Yeah. Which, fine, but like,
another even simpler thing. Now, at this point, Ray has gone rogue. So your multi-billion dollar secret weapon goes completely rogue on you. No one from this corporation is already watching the X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently, I don't know, for a cookie cutter movie, They didn't use the fucking cookie cutter.
Nope.
They traced the cookie cutter and then did it by hand. So it's very rough, and there are points that are missing, and the details aren't there. Now, what the fuck?
My question is, and I actually meant to look into this before coming in today.
Yeah.
Why was Vin Diesel chosen to play Ray Garrison? Why was he chosen to play Bloodshot?
I feel like this is his choice.
I was just gonna, yeah, I have a theory.
He wanted it.
I have a theory.
Okay. Does he look like the actual canon, or...
No.
No?
I think this is what it was. Like, Vin Diesel is a nerd. Yeah. We all know this. And there are movies like The Last Witch Hunter that got made because, like, it's based on his D&D character and he wanted to do it.
Yeah, literally. They made a movie based on his D&D character.
Okay.
Yeah. The Riddick trilogy. Yeah. That he literally traded a Return to the Fast and the Furious to get the rights to. Because he loves that character and wanted to do another movie.
This is the man who has done all of the voice work for Groot in every single language. Because he'll sit there for like a week and just go, "Yo soy Groot. Je suis Groot." Because he wants it to sound the exact same in every language. He's just like, "No, no, you know, I am Groot. You don't get to, you don't just bring some other motherfucker in to read check. I'll read check. Fuck you."
I fully expect to find out that he was a fan of the comic book.
Yeah.
And that's why he's here.
Yeah.
Which, on the one hand, I can respect. But on the other hand, dude. Read the script next time!
Yeah, because and that was the whole thing. Like, he's so flat. All of them are just so flat. There's no depth. There's nothing to keep me wanting to come back for more.
That is absolutely fantastic.
Rating?
I want to give it a 3, because as I said, once I figured out that going in cold, and I suggest going to this film cold, it's better not to know what the hell's going on, and then have a pleasant surprise of, oh, it's slightly better than I thought it would be. How nice. It's slightly better than I thought it would be. When I was a very young child that was very stupid, I'm sure I would have enjoyed the hell out of for being shooty-shooty action blammo. And because of its weird rating, a child can watch this. Because aside from the part when his face goes splat, there's actually nothing horrible in even the language. Did anyone say fuck in this goddamn movie?
Nah, I'm thinking about it. I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one moment of actual violence that you see. Everything else is off screen or shot in the way that you don't see it.
A lot of it's implied, yeah.
A lot of this movie's implied. You don't even see the actual final conclusion. You just see an explosion from like 30 yards away. There's a line even that kind of suggests at the very end of this film the real horror that this could have been. This could have been like a gore fest body horror thing where at the end Katie has to find his corpse that just got exploded by a grenade. And Wilfred? Whoa. Wiggins says, "Oh yeah, your head was like right next to your ass or something." It's like, show us the kind of... I don't want to necessarily see that, but like, if you had been a grotesque film that really rolled with how fucked up replacing your blood with nanites could become, this would have been more interesting. Actually, that one line, that one pass-off line that I've remembered is more potentially interesting. It had more character growth, it had more depth, it was funny, it was gross, it was fascinating. And it was at the very goddamn end, and it was off screen.
Yep.
Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yep.
3.
Yeah.
3.
2.5. I'm waffling between the writing, the lack of dimension, the blurred camera, and all that's pulling it down to 2. And it's like, but it had promise, and it's got action, and that's the 3. But yeah, I'll just split the middle and go 2.5. So yeah.
Yeah, that's like, there's... so much potential here that they just went, why bother?
Why bother?
Yeah.
Why bother? Comic book nerds will probably see this. the odd action fan will see this. It'll end up on Netflix or whatever, and they'll get enough. It didn't. It wasn't as painful to watch as Amazing Spider-Man 1, which is, I feel, the metric that Sony is always attempting by.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Was Venom good? Wasn't as bad as Spider-Man 1. Yeah! Let's make a sequel.
But this, I think the one thing that most supports everything you just said is the simple fact that Sony wanted to use Jackpot for a movie.
You know what I would love to see, Sony? And I fucking mean this. I am serious. I'm dead serious. Remake the issue of Spider-Man where he goes to and meets the cast, the first cast of SNL, and he has to help John Belushi as the samurai fight, I believe, the Silver Samurai? So yeah, there was an issue in the 70s, like 1976, when the first SNL was super fucking hot, where Peter and Mary Jane and probably his friend.
Harry.
They go to SNL, and it gets attacked by some Z-list villain, and he ends up teaming up with, like, Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi and Gilda Radner to stop it. Make that fucking film. I would love to see a hard... like a hard historical version of it. So the spider suit is bad spandex that you can get in the 70s. The actors doing SNL, they're the primary stars of this. So the whole thing, like, begins as kind of like a biopic about original SNL, and it's expertly acted by modern comedians. Smart, funny, R-rated, a really filthy New York, and then Spider-Man. But a really bad Spider-Man. I would watch that film 100 times in theaters.
So now then, and am I in frame on yours?
Are you in frame in my? Oh, 1 second. It is still going. It's just you have been in frame. You are in frame. Yeah, you're in frame.
Okay. Enough,
so yeah.
Yeah, we pretty much had a camera die mid-review, so I've got to figure out what's still working here. But. Now, normally, this would be the part of the show where we would be pitching outside projects and so forth. But, as much as I want to keep this fun, at some point we've got to address the coronavirus. I really don't want to! But, first and foremost, the obvious... No, it's still not in Nova Scotia. No, we're not in isolation. Nobody panic. But on the other hand, this would be the part where I would be promoting our next episode, Disney's live-action Mulan, as well as April's New Mutants and No Time to Die. I think we know where this is going.
Y'all.
Quite simply, right now, we have no idea what we're doing coming up. I would say don't be surprised if we, go back into the proverbial vault, review the original Mulan instead. I want to take a look at The Hunt, which also came out this weekend, basically just because of the three words these two hate. I gotta know. I've gotta know.
Again, are we allowed to cap the B movies? Like, seriously.
No.
You're mean. I am.
Yes, I am.
One of the new Facebook meme game thingies is you're trapped or you have to self-isolate or quarantine for 14 days and use the at symbol and who's the third person in your list. And of course... Apparently, I was your third person in the list. And he's not letting us cap the B movies. That's just, no. That's mean. No.
I love the fact that you were the one who posted it, and you were my third person. But, yeah, basically, we're probably going to be doing a number of reviews of older films. I would have loved to hit some indie films. I know at some point, probably next month, we're going to be taking a look at Red Spring, which is an indie vampire film that I backed on, I think it was Indiegogo back in like 2015. And otherwise, if you are stuck in isolation, obviously, please, for the love of God, stay there the 2 weeks. And hopefully we can entertain you in the meanwhile. We can find something that appeals to you. And especially with the goddamn panic buying and all the absurdity that we're seeing right now, I'm going to end this with a clip from Men in Black and the words of Tommy Lee Jones that just apply to way too much right now. So with that, until next time.
All right, kid, here's the deal. At any given time, there are around 1,500 aliens on the planet, most of them right here in Manhattan. And most of them are decent enough. They're just trying to make a living.
Cab drivers.
Well, not as many as you'd think. Humans, for the most part, don't have a clue. They don't want one or need one either. They're happy. They think they have a good bead on things.
Well, why the big secret? People are smart. They can handle it.
A person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it. 1,500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was the center of the universe. 500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was flat, and 15 minutes ago, you knew that people were alone on this planet.
Imagine what you'll know tomorrow.
Don't forget to hit those like and subscribe buttons, share this video with your friends, and drop us a line anytime you like.